Let's open up with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time that we can gather together. We just want to lift up our nation to you at this time that, as America, we will turn our eyes back to you. We pray for the president and pray for him as he runs the nation, that whatever he does will bring glory and honor to your name. We just pray for the division in our world, that we can change that, that we can come together as a nation. There is no color, there is no race, there is no, we're all one. And we just pray that in the body of Christ that we can be one. We lift up this prayer request to you this morning. We pray for Bobby and just pray that he'll feel better and pray that the shingles will go away. Pray for Carl and Sue as they travel. Just pray for everybody else that has any burdens on their chest, that we can lay them down at your feet. We just thank you for this time. As we open up the Word of God, we just pray that we'll grow in your grace and knowledge, that you'll open up our hearts and souls and minds, Lord. And we pray in your precious Son's name. Amen. If you want to turn with me over to 1 Thessalonians, we've been going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. And we're down to verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, support the weak, be patient towards all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. These are just things that we are called to do. These are things that we are asked to do from the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul is writing to the Thessalonians, and he's encouraging the brethren. He first starts with, warn them that are unruly. I know we've all dealt with people that are unruly. The Greek word means disorderly, out of ranks, used often of soldiers who fall out of line. You know, many people in churches can cause commotion, can cause chaos, can cause problems, deviate from the prescribed order of rule. The unruly Christian is one who does not abide by the teachings of the Word of God. And Paul encourages the Thessalonians to do the same. We need to warn the unruly. Warn, brethren, is a crucial component of preaching Christ. He encouraged Timothy to do the same thing. And even in 2 Thessalonians, and we'll get there in a couple weeks, but in 2 Thessalonians, it talks about to mark them and withdraw from fellowship if they are unruly. And we'll go into a lot more detail later on in 2 Thessalonians. The Apostle Paul goes on here in verse 14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, encourage the faint-hearted. Again, basically means small-souled or little-souled, translated feeble-minded, or timid. We need to encourage the faint-hearted. We need to be there for, describes those who lose heart, prone to dropping out. The Christian life is not an easy life. I know a lot of people say, the minute you get saved, everything will go your way. You'll have all these blessings. Everything will go perfect. But that's not the truth. The Christian life, we still go through battles. We still fight our old nature. We go through problems and trials and tribulations. And as mature Christians, we need to help the feeble, the feeble-minded. We need to help the faint-hearted. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 13, it says, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. The Apostle Paul went through tribulation after tribulation. I don't believe he was ever feeble-minded or timid. I don't think he was ever scared. I don't think he ever was, he was gung-ho. He was always the leader of the pack. But again, we will go through times where we want to give up. We'll go through times where we say, it's easier to go down the worldly path. It's easier to go down this other road. Those are the times that the mature Christians need to encourage and pick them up. In Galatians 6:9, it says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Comforting the faint-hearted. These brethren are to be encouraged, consoled. And Paul had done this while he was at Thessalonica. The faint-hearted need a tender touch. They need to be encouraged. They need to be moved along the path of righteousness. And he even goes on in verse 14 here. He tells them to support the weak. And I think we can look at this in two different ways. You know, those that are weak, that are in a need materially, financially, or those that are spiritually weak. I think we're called to both of those. We are called to help in times of need. You know, we need to give to them. We need to pray for them. We need to help them out. You know, I'm good friends with Jason Will Real Estate down there. I do a lot of home inspections for them. And most of them all go to Celebration Church. But they went down to a widow's house, I'm assuming from their church, and they replaced cabinets. They changed flooring. They painted the outside. They redid the entire house to help the weak. That is what we are called to do. If there's an opportunity as a church that we can help somebody, bring it to me. That is what we're called to do, to be able to change somebody's life, to say this is what the body of Christ is about. The body of Christ is not here for a building. The body of Christ is not here to... It can learn the Word of God and it can grow in the Word of God, but it's here to go out in the world and change somebody's life, to tell them what Jesus Christ did for them on the cross of Calvary. So again, there's times in life that we need to give our money, give our time, give our prayers. But I think he's also talking about the spiritually weak. Upholding the weak. Turn over with me to Romans chapter 14. Each and every one of us knows somebody that's struggling, that's a new Christian, that's going through difficult times. And it's our job to support them. To say, you're doing it right. You're going down the right path. Just encourage them. And how can we do this? Romans chapter 14, 1 through 3 says, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Again, we need to receive them. We need to accept them. They may not understand the Word of God like you do, but we need to say, I accept you where you're at, and let me hold your hand and guide you along. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let him who eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Many times we fight over silly things. Many times we stumble over silly things. But if it offends the other person, if it makes them stumble, don't do it. Be there for them. Receive them. Lead them. Don't argue over things in which there are doubts. Even if you're teaching somebody that's in a different denomination or a different religion, find things that you agree on, because that brings you into unity, and then you can show them differences. But if you go in there with a baseball bat and say, this is the truth, and hit them over the head with it, you're never going to teach them anything. They'll turn around and run right out the door. Look at Romans chapter 15. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Again, the last couple weeks we've been talking about edifying, we've been talking about encouraging, we've been talking about uplifting. Many times we may not feel like we're the stronger Christian. Many times we may not feel like we're the stronger person. But you can be on both sides of that. One day to one person, you can be the stronger person. The next day you may be the weaker person. But you fit in that category. You fit on both sides of that. And we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. We need to be there for them. We need to encourage them. We need to, look at Romans chapter 14, verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Again, same thing. Don't uplift them, encourage them. If it offends them, do away with it. We need to encourage. We need to uplift. We need to uphold the weak. There's so many people out there that go to church on Sunday morning, that don't understand Scripture, that don't understand our blessings in Christ, how we're seated in the heavenlies, how we're already a citizenship in Christ. But start with something you agree with them on and work towards them and lead them and guide them to a stronger relationship in Christ. Turn back with me to 1 Thessalonians again. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. Again, it says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, support the weak, be patient towards all men." Do we ever need patience? Do we ever struggle with patience? I get along with everybody. I never have a hard time with be patient towards believers. Be patient towards all men. And I think it ties in with the verse. Because sometimes we get, with the weak and the faint-hearted, we get very impatient. Why are you not understanding this? The Word of God says it. I don't get why you don't understand what I'm showing you. Why don't you understand what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you? Why don't you understand that he it's all right here. Just get done with it. I don't have time for this. I got to go on to the next thing. We've got to be patient with the timid and the feeble-minded. We've got to encourage them. We need to be patient with those that we teach, especially when it is time to rebuke the unruly. I mean, it's a very hard thing. We need to be patient, make sure that's the path we want to go down. Even when we are dealing with those who oppose us, we need to be patient. You will get so much more across the more patient you are. Verse 15 says, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man." This has been a principle taught throughout the Word of God. You can go back to Matthew chapter 5, and the Lord Jesus Christ taught this himself. Romans chapter 5, verse 44. "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them who despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the sons of your Father who is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. We can see it even in the Apostle Paul's writing. Look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 17. "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Do not render evil for evil to anyone. Live peaceably among all men. Be patient with all men. Be patient. I think sometimes it's easy for us to be nice to our believer friends, but unbelievers, we have a hard time because we don't understand their side of the coin. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, "None render evil for evil. Do not see that none render evil for evil unto any man." And he goes on, "But ever follow that which is good." Make for peace, edify one another, follow which is good as righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness, holiness, whatever's honorable. You know, many times we want to argue with what is good and what is not good, but based off the Word of God, we know what that is. We know what is good. Follow those things, and it'll tie this whole passage together. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. This one's easy for everybody, right? No matter what we're going through, no matter our struggles, no matter our problems, we've got it worse than everybody else. I have the worst life out of everybody. I go through the most struggles out of everybody. The Apostle Paul is telling them to rejoice always. In joy there is great strength. When we have joy in what we believe, we abound in hope. Look at Philippians 4:4. Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Psalms 21, verse 1. "The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice." If you think you have nothing to rejoice, if you think you have nothing to be joyful for, think of the salvation that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you on the cross of Calvary. If you have put your faith and trust in him, if you have said, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you sent your son 2,000 years ago to die on the cross for my sins and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. I believe that. I put my faith and trust in that." There can be nothing in this world that can take your joy away. We have spiritual blessings. We are seated in the heavenlies. It can't be taken away from us. If we die, we go to a better place. Rejoice always. I do a lot of reading, and I've learned that recently after 35 years of life, if you want something, you have to give that away. If you want joy in your life, you have to give away joy. If you want love in your life, you have to give away love. If you want prosperity in your life, you have to give away money. It's the way the world works. If you want love, if you want joy, if you want peace, you can't give away war and expect peace in your life. You can't give away drama and expect peace in your life. You can't give away hate and expect love in your life. If you want joy, give it away. To rejoice in the Lord always, follow these simple guidelines. Read and feed upon the Word of God daily. We need to be in the Word of God. The more we're in the Word of God, the more joy we'll have, the more peace we'll have, the more patience we'll have. Spend time with other believers in Christ. If you can't get here on a Wednesday night, find a Bible study that you can get to, a small group, something to where you can get into the Word of God. Or find somebody online that you like. With technology, we can listen to sermons all day long and never run out of sermons. Pay attention and listen and be a good Berean and study the Word of God. Make sure you agree with them. But we can find sermons all day long. Lead others to Christ. They will bring a great source of joy. If you lead somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be joyful for years to come. It's an amazing, amazing feeling. The Apostle Paul goes on here in verse 17 and 18, and he says, "Pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." We need to pray without ceasing. In prayer, we find mercy and grace to help in time of need. In prayer, we find forgiveness. In prayer, we find the peace of God. If you have a hard time praying each and every day, if you have a hard time Set an intention, set a plan, set a time. I'm going to pray each and every day at 7 o'clock or whatever it is. Set your alarm for 5 minutes early if it's better in the morning. Or some people are better in the morning, some people are better at night. We need to be in prayer continually. And pray without ceasing doesn't mean you stop and you fold your hands and close your eyes and you're constantly in prayer. It means it's an attitude. If you're driving down the road, you're talking to the Lord. If you're in work, you're talking to the Lord. It's just like your spouse. I talk to my wife all day long. She may not feel that way, but I feel that way, so we have to discuss that. I talk to my wife all day long. It's a relationship. It's an attitude. We need to be in prayer. Find some time each day to be alone with God in prayer. Read His Word. Be in prayer. You know, you think of Daniel in the lion's den. They set him up to where he could not pray. Did he go in a closet and shut the doors and say, okay, I'm not going to do it anymore? He could have easily hid himself and acted like he wasn't going to pray. But he did the same exact thing he did the day before. He opened up the windows, kneeled down, and prayed to the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing what would happen. We have the ability. We have the freedom. Why do we not pray more often? We need to be in prayer. And finally, he says, in everything, give thanks. Again, like I said, my wife and I have been reading a lot, and a lot of the books talk about gratitude and thankfulness. And until you have an attitude of gratitude, you'll never be happy. You will never be happy. You can have everything in the world, but until you have an attitude of gratitude that you're thankful for what you have, you will never be happy. You'll never be content. If you're not content with what you have today, you will never have enough to be content. We've got to have an attitude of gratitude. And in the books I'm reading, it tells you, you know, so many times we jump up and we get ready to pray and we pray and we start for all the things that we need. Heal this person. And I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm not saying that's bad. But we talk about heal this person. Protect this person. Save this person. But start with a thankful heart. And you will see what the Lord has done for you in your life. That's why he closes with this. In everything, give thanks. When we're thankful, we'll be more in prayer. When we're thankful, we'll be more joyful. When we're thankful, we can do all these things. Turn over with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, who hath made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You may come to me and say, I have nothing to be thankful for. Number one, if you have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be thankful. If you're here breathing today, you can be thankful. We think all our financial worlds, all our financial problems, everything is the end of the world. But as you sit here today, the moment is now. We can be thankful that we can eat, that we can breathe, that we have kids, that we have life, that we have opportunities, that we have freedom. There's so many things to be thankful for. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding with thanksgiving. Abound in thanksgiving. If we want to overcome any of our problems, we have to start with thankfulness. If we want to overcome anxiety, if we want to have peace, remember that all things can work together for our good. I heard a story the other day. It was about a farmer and his horse. One day his horse runs away and his neighbor comes over and says, to commiserate, I'm so sorry about your horse. And the farmer says, who knows what's good or bad? The neighbor is confused because this is clearly terrible. The horse is the most valuable thing he owns, but the horse comes back the next day and brings him 12 wild horses. The neighbor comes back over to celebrate. Congratulations on your great fortune. The farmer replies again, who knows what's good or bad? And the next day, the farmer's son is taming one of the wild horses, and it's thrown and breaks his leg. The neighbor comes back over, I'm so sorry about your son. The farmer repeats, who knows what's good or bad? Sure enough, the next day, the army comes through their village and is conscripting able-bodied young men to go and fight in war. But the son is spared because of his broken leg. We cannot see our future. We cannot see our plans. We cannot know what the Lord has for our life. And everybody knows the verse, but in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We can glory in our tribulation, because we don't understand what's over here. Our tribulation is going to bring us good if you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's what the Word of God says. We can rejoice in trials. We can be thankful. I used to struggle with this question. And I know a lot of people still deal with this. What is God's will for us in Christ Jesus? And it's right here in 1 Thessalonians. It tells us what is his will for our life. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. He tells us all these things to do. We need to comfort the faint-hearted. Uphold the weak. Be a thankful people. Be a prayerful people. To be a joyful people. The more thankful we are, the more prayerful we'll be. The more prayerful we are, the more joyful we will be. This is the will of God. When you start following these five simple steps, rejoice, be prayerful, be thankful, help the faint-hearted, encourage the weak, you will be in the will of God. He will lead you and guide you down the right path. You are on the right path. And I hope and pray that we have an attitude of gratitude today. Let's close this prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the Word of God. We just thank you that through so many struggles, through many trials, tribulations, we can be a thankful people. You did not have to send your son to die for us, but your love sent your son to die for the enemies. We were all enemies of you, and you still sent your son to die for us. That's what we're called to do, is love our enemy. Bless those that curse us. Show them the love of Christ. I just pray that each and every one of us, no matter what our situation is, can have that attitude of gratitude. We have all the capabilities in the world. We can do whatever we want. We can be whatever we want. We live in a free America. I just thank you for such a wonderful morning. Thank you for beautiful weather. Thank you for sending your son to die on the cross for our sins. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.